You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Now is the time to secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets at the best prices available in the newly renovated First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci here from New York, live in the heart of the city, just a block away from Radio City Music Hall, where, of course, the 2014 NFL Draft will be underway tomorrow. The speculation will end, obviously, as it relates to what the Browns will do with that fourth pick. And we want to hear from you. Yesterday, of course, Jay Glazer reporting that the Browns will not take Johnny Manziel at 4-1 day after Chris Mortensen of ESPN reported that the Browns would not let Manziel get past the fourth pick. The injury grows, the smoke billowing from Manhattan these days, and Jeff in Detroit wants to talk the draft with us. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show.
Thanks, you. Buddy.
A couple things for you. First, if they're not going to take Manziel at 4, I'm fine with that, but what I'm not going to be fine with is if we take a tackle. The best case scenario with a tackle is what we've seen out of Joe Thomas the last few years. And that's gotten us pretty much nothing. We need guys that can get in the end zone and score some points. So whether that's a wide receiver, whether that's preferably a quarterback, because we haven't had one since Bernie, I guess what I'm trying to ask you guys is there an inkling to what's going on if Manziel's not the guy?
No, there really isn't an inkling. It's complete guesswork. But let me put this in context, and I'll say it as my view, not necessarily yours, but when I hear generically the thought that Joe Thomas as a tackle, what has that really gotten us? All right, 7-time Pro Bowler, he's done a lot for whatever production this offense got, which last year really came in the form of two guys, obviously, but whatever it took to get the ball in the hands of those guys, Joe Thomas was a part of that. You better have an instant, a moment where the quarterback has that time, that instant or moment to deliver a pass. You put some substandard tackle in there other than one of the best in the game, you don't necessarily achieve that. Let's not lose sight of the importance of the position. And honestly speaking, it's not crazy to think that the Browns go tackle. That's not exciting. That's not scintillating. We don't sit there in anticipation, oh, great, big offensive tackle joining the Browns or a big guard. But at the same time, from a football soundness standpoint, and this argument that it doesn't help you really win, I'm not buying. It ultimately is part of something that you need. But for this team, you still do need the quarterback. You still do need the playmakers, wide receiver, et cetera. But you also need alignment.
You do. You need all of it. And it goes back to my belief from day one. And that was, I've said it all along, I don't think the Browns have the conviction about a quarterback at number 4. If they did, they would make that pick. I wish that they did. I think that would be the best thing for this team, for this organization, for this franchise, to take the philosophy that, hey, let's get the best quarterback. We love this guy. Let's finally have that quarterback who can lead us to the promised land. As I've said, though, that's not likely. To me, it comes down, honestly, in my mind right now today, I feel like there are 4 names that the Browns will pick at number 4 if they stay at 4. And those 4 names to me are Greg Robinson, Jake Matthews, Sammy Watkins, Mike Evans. And
so
that,
two of them are linemen.
2 linemen, 2 receivers. That's it. I would not at all be surprised if it is a lineman.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm at right now. And, you know, the quarterback position, I think when we get down to it here, Notorious, there could be a massive free fall among this group, because if all of a sudden we've heard reports now that no at 4 for the Browns on Manziel, and I'm not sure, maybe that just means that they prefer Bortles or Bridgewater. I'm not sure that that's the case. No on a quarterback at 5 for the Oakland Raiders, and now the latest report coming out, no on a quarterback at 8 for the Minnesota Vikings came out today, reported by Ed Werder of ESPN. If that's the case, you could see these quarterbacks all slide down into the 20s.
There was, I think, up till maybe today, a strong sense that the point of demarcation, the line for quarterbacks, if none was taken at 8, up to when you got to 8, and if no quarterback was taken then, that the free fall would begin there and really fall hard. I'm beginning to think now the line of demarcation is 4, is where the Browns are. And I'm more and more convinced, and I wrote this for ClevelandBrowns.com, that the Browns will be, now they may not be the only, I mean, they won't be the only team, but I mean, they'll be the 4th team when they come up. There's a better than likely chance that they're going to have all four quarterbacks from which to pick, and this, again, presumes that no one's maneuvering in front of them to make sure they get a guy, and that possibility always sits out there. But if we just go at chalk and just say picks are made without any trades in 1, 2, 3, and you get to the Browns, staring at all of the quarterbacks and then deciding not to pick one then is telling, and it makes the loud statement that there wasn't a guy that they absolutely had, as we've said, that conviction, that consensus on, because if they did, you pick him there. You
for
don't
sure.
think of it. There's no reason to say, oh, no, we'll get him later on. We'll get him at 26. It's a better value. The values don't matter. Money is not an issue there. I mean, it's easy
changed.
For me to say, but,
it's changed. True.
It's you're not committing to the crazy money that you did a few years ago.
Right. You're not like where the Rams are with Sam Bradford right now. And really, as it goes back to this, and it goes back to the conviction, as you talked about, because quarterback is a pass-fail position. You cannot overdraft a good quarterback. Any good quarterback would be a number one pick overall if you asked his team what his value was.
Right.
Any bad quarterback's not even worth drafting. So there's no getting a good value on a bad quarterback. It doesn't exist. It's a pass-fail position. The interesting thing is, though, there could be a scenario that doesn't seem as unlikely as it did a little while ago from talking to people and even talking to some people today, that all four quarterbacks are on the board at 26.
That would be wild. I believe it. I mean, I'm starting to believe it, I guess. It's hard for me to think somebody's not going to get
maybe
taken
three
at 20.
Of them.
I'm thinking of the teams that are in that in the 20s. You know, Tennessee could throw a curveball in there. Arizona
sure.
at 20, right? Because, I mean, they've got.
But let's say one goes.
Carson
is it
Palmer.
That if you didn't have the conviction anyway, is it that big of a difference to the Browns if you have four available to you at 4 or three available to you at 26?
No, once the guy is made. Well, I guess the. That's I don't know, though. You're saying, now that changes the game. If the pool gets. If the pool is shallower
one of
by
out.
One guy. Well, A, it depends on who that guy is.
It can't matter, though, right?
No.
Because if you had conviction about the one guy, you'd want him, and you'd just take him.
Yeah, yeah. Then that means you're taking your moving. I don't know. It's that confounds me to think about how they're if they've graded them the way I've graded them, and by no means do I know that they've done that, the differences are pretty slight as far as grades.
That's what I'm saying.
So if you take that cluster approach, as we often talk about, then you could have multiple quarterbacks equal enough quality that they say, we will be happy if we get him, we get him, we get him. So if it is 26, and you've gotten, by the way, Mike Evans or somebody.
Right, you're feeling great about
one,
that then.
I'm feeling great, and you're feeling, we're high-fiving on that.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. George, and let's go to George in Chardon now.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
You know what, I kind of look at this draft like, I think some of the fan base is expecting this draft to be like a cure-all. And I don't think the Browns are approaching this draft from that standpoint. I think they're approaching this draft from the standpoint that there's a lot of depth in this draft. Based on the depth, there are a lot of player positions, a lot of guys that are available that long-term can help this team. I think the most important thing to come out of this draft is fit. I think they need to pick the players that are going to fit in their estimation and be the best fit for this team. You know, it's like, you know, if your hands are cold and you go out and get the best pair of gloves there are, if they don't fit, what good are they? And that's the way I look at players. I think it's more important to get the guys that are
going to
fit.
All right, George. I think we lost George. But
I think
he made a tremendous point there about fit. About the draft is not the cure all. A lot of the cures have been found. This team, I believe, made itself better through free agency.
For sure,
the players have been added. So you've got a nice core addition to this team in the moves they've made. I think you got a point to the way this coaching staff has been put together. Having Mike Pettine in charge is another plus. I think that can, on paper, be seen as an upgrade. I saw Rick Neuheisel today over at the event, and he had coached with Mike Pettine in Baltimore, spoke highly of him. He says, you've got a great coach there. He says, you'll be very happy with this guy, and he was just
emphatic
very
about
emphatic
it. Yes.
About it. You were standing next to me
yep.
when you said that. So I thought that was great to hear. I think having Ray Farmer, you know, streamlining the operation to put it in the hands of someone that is highly regarded. Yes, this is his first draft. He's a first-time GM, and we'll see. But I think as first-time GMs go, I think the draft is in pretty good hands there. I think there's a lot of positives to where we see this team prior to the draft. The draft doesn't have to be the be-all, end-all. It's important. To George's point, I want to see good fits for sure. Yes, there's going to have to be some help. I think unlike what Marvin Lewis and the Bengals are saying, which is, you know, they don't go into this draft necessarily looking to draft starters, but that's a team that's been to the playoffs quite a bit.
Right.
That's won the division the last two of the 3 years. They shouldn't have to be finding starters. The Browns have to find some starters, but their whole, everything that they're going to be, good or bad, I don't think completely hinges on the draft right now. It's important, but I think they've done a lot up to this point to help themselves.
Agree, and if they can come out of here with four starters, that's the number for me with this draft, with the talent, with the picks, I would be thrilled, and I think the Browns will be well on their way. We've got Greg Cosell coming up in a minute, but let's try to get two last questions in here real quick. Let's get to Charles in Canton. Welcome to CBD.
Hey, I had one statement, one question quick. The statement is just the offensive player, number four, and 26. Okay. I don't care who they are, just, you know, the best one available there.
Okay.
But my other question is, down here in Canton, they officially filed paperwork today to host the NFL draft, and I kind of wanted to get your guys' feel on that, like starting the players off where, you know, they hope to end.
I would be fine with that. It would certainly make the commute very nice for Notorious and myself, so there you go.
No, I think it's... look, the NFL's trying to move the draft, or thinking about moving the draft from Radio City Music Hall, and I think the time has come to kind of give it some different locations. I know there's all these logistical things the league will talk about, and it's Manhattan, and there's a lot going on, and it does make for natural, you know, the whole theory was that they wanted the New York media coverage there. Trust me, New York and other media outlets will find their way to Canton, Ohio, or wherever this draft is.
Of course they will. I wouldn't be against it. And finally, let's go to John in Gainesville. John, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not too much.
What's
How
up?
You doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I'm excited. I'm just really excited, man. I called in yesterday to say hey to you guys and was on hold for a little bit. But I just wanted to send some love to you all from Gainesville, Florida, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've got the Browns backers here, man, and we're just excited for this draft. We're all meeting up tomorrow night, and it should be fun. I just want to see a smart draft, man. I just want to see us do something exciting. If we could trade down and get another pick and still end up with a good quarterback, that would be great, wouldn't it? I mean,
smart's a great word. I like smart draft. I think smart and draft go together well in the sentence, and that's exactly what I'd look for, too. I don't want to hear words like splash, and I don't necessarily think we're going to. I think that tends to be the wrong way to think about this. I think looking at it very much from the standpoint of intelligent, sound picks, to go back to the earlier caller, good fits, that's all that matters to me, and just something that will help this team win. Greg Cosell, NFL Films. Guy who analyzes a lot of tape, especially quarterback tape. He's got some great insights. He's coming up next on this Football Wednesday edition of CBD with Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. We are here in Midtown Manhattan broadcasting to you on ESPN 850 WKNR.